From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Gross.
Religious freedom lives another day in the Nebraska legislature, a controversial bill that would infringe on First Amendment rights and cause a number of unintended consequences, all in the name of equality, failed to advance just last week. And I'm going to have a national expert, Kelly Fedorik, legal counsel with Alliance Defending Freedom, here with me today to talk about this hot-button issue and how we should think about these controversial LGBT laws that sound good in principle, but when you look into it, cause a lot of problems for everybody involved. So we're going to talk about why it's important to really understand what these laws do and what they're truly about. Plus, everything you need to know about what's going on at the state capitol. The governor signs the first pro-life bill in over 5 years, a major tax reform package advances, and a bill to protect Second Amendment rights meets a filibuster. Welcome to Capitol Connection. This past week was a historic one in the Nebraska legislature. Our governor, Pete Ricketts, signed the first pro-life bill in 5 years in Nebraska, LB 46, introduced by Senator Dan Wattermyer, creates the Choose Life specialty license plates, allowing Nebraskans to join over 30 other states and having the choice, ironically, to purchase this specialty license plate that will allow them to promote a positive message about life and send proceeds from purchasing that plate to the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families Fund. This is a bill that's all about choice in supporting life, not just at birth, but every stage, whether it's protecting the unborn or the needy or the elderly. It's a positive message about life. And this bill overcame five filibusters to finally become law. And it's a small step, but it's also an important one because the Supreme Court has ruled that states do, in fact, have an interest in protecting life, and they can show preference to policies that support protecting innocent life. And that's what the Choose Life message is about. And not only can you promote a positive message about life, but you can also help families in need. And I'll say this, I think that if Senator Ernie Chambers can get his specialty license plate to protect mountain lions, certainly we can have one to protect innocent human life as well. The Choose Life specialty license plates will be made available to purchase in Nebraska starting next January. A gun preemption bill, LB 68, to protect Second Amendment rights met a filibuster in the Nebraska legislature and has temporarily been tabled until the introducer, Senator Mike Hilders of Lincoln, can show he has votes to pass the bill. Gun preemption laws have passed in 42 other states, and Nebraska is actually the only state that went to Donald Trump in the presidential election without a gun preemption law in place. And what these laws do is ensure that local cities and municipalities can't adopt or enforce stricter gun laws than what has been authorized at the state level. And so the problem has been that it can be very confusing and even illegal for law-abiding gun owners to travel across the state with their firearms in their vehicles from different cities, traveling across the state as the laws change, as you enter a different city, and you might be carrying a firearm, and you might not know what that city has said about how they're going to regulate firearms. So all this bill is really doing is just making sure that local cities don't have stricter gun laws than we have already at the state level. It was debated for several hours before the legislature adjourned, and they won't take the bill back up until they think that they, or at least they can show that they've got the 33 votes to overcome the filibuster that that met the bill as soon as it was introduced. And the bill's sponsor, Senator Hilders, made a really important point when he said that the right to bear arms is a constitutionally protected freedom, and it's the only constitutionally protected freedom that we just allow cities to enact strict laws that impede on that right. For example, we don't have different free speech laws or freedom of religion laws as you travel throughout the state going from city to city. No, if it's a constitutionally protected freedom, you have that freedom and it doesn't change from city to city. And Senator Hilgers is confident that he will get the votes to pass this bill into law. Another important piece of news from the state capitol this week, a major tax reform package advanced from the Revenue Committee. LB 461 advanced on a 6-2 vote and was met with applause from Governor Ricketts, who said that the reform package is great news for growing Nebraska and that these reforms will bring much-needed tax relief for hardworking Nebraska families, small businesses, and entrepreneurs. The package would cut individual tax rates and change how farm and ranch land are valued for property tax purposes. State Senator Jim Smith of Papillion, the committee chairman, said he is optimistic about this bill's chance in the full legislature. The package is supported by the Greater Omaha Chamber and the Platt Institute, as well as the governor, but is sure to have its fair share of opponents as well. So this is the next impeding legal battle that's going to unfold in the Nebraska legislature, whether or not to advance this tax reform package that will continue to play out over the next couple of weeks. An issue that affects everyone is religious freedom, and there's so much tension right now across the country and even here in Nebraska between protecting religious freedom and LGBT rights. The Nebraska legislature just voted down a bill that would have created a protected class for sexual orientation and gender identity. These are laws being pushed and actually defeated all over the country, and I'm going to talk about it with Kelly Fedorik, legal counsel for Alliance Defending Freedom, and what this means for Nebraskans and also what it means for religious freedom. So before I do that, I want to be sure to thank the sponsors of the show. The Bill Black CBS Home Real Estate Team, whether you are buying a home, selling your current home, looking to invest in real estate, or dreaming of building your next house, the Bill Black Team is here to help. Call the Bill Black Team at 402-680-2500 for all your real estate needs. They are a team of highly educated, well-trained professionals who know the area well and are all about honesty, integrity, and going above and beyond to meet their clients' needs. So whether you are buying, selling, building, or looking to invest, call the Bill Black CBS Home Real Estate Team at 402-680-2500. Let them put their expertise in real estate to work for you today. And whatever your vehicle needs, visit Walker Tire in Omaha at one of their four convenient locations throughout Omaha: 144th and Harrison, 84th and Dodge, 89th and L, and 140th and Center. Walker Tire and Auto Service has been serving Omaha customers for over 6 decades. Only at Walker Tire and Auto can you get free vehicle video health inspections with every visit. Hear from expert technicians and see for yourself how your vehicle is doing right from your email or phone as they walk around filming, telling you everything you need to know and what they're seeing about your vehicle. When you visit Walker Tire and Auto, get the Walker Tire Advantage, where you can get free oil changes and more for the life of your tires. Visit Walker Tire and Auto, going the extra mile for you. We are live for the first time on Capital Connection, broadcasting from the Nebraska Family Alliance studio, and for good reason, because joining me today is national expert on religious freedom and sexual orientation and gender identity laws, legal counsel for Alliance Defending Freedom, Kelly Fedorik. Kelly, thank you for being with us today.
Thanks, Nate, for having me.
We have a bill, LB 173, that would create a protected class for sexual orientation and gender identity. Kelly, you've come to Nebraska to help us work to oppose this law. And I think a lot of people, when they hear that it's a non-discrimination law, why would we oppose a bill that supposedly would stop discrimination?
Well, it's a great question, Nate, because non-discrimination laws had very laudable origins. It made a lot of sense at one point in time, because when we adopted some of these laws, there was a very real pattern and practice of invidious discrimination, really bad things happening to people. For example, during the civil rights era with African Americans, people not being able to sit in the same spot on the bus or having forced to drink from different water fountains. We had a real problem that needed to be addressed when these laws were first enacted. The reality is now Americans are really tolerant, really respectful of one another, and the government has really no need to step in and dictate how businesses should be able to run their businesses, what values to adopt, which ones not to, and certainly shouldn't now get involved and punish people. So rather than preventing discrimination, these laws actually advance discrimination against good people and threaten very, very fundamental freedoms and individual rights.
So these laws, they sound great in principle, but they have a lot of unintended consequences, and they're real victims of these laws. You represent clients, actually, through Alliance Defending Freedom across the country who have been adversely affected by these laws. What have you seen, and who's been affected by these sexual orientation and gender identity laws?
Well, unfortunately, these laws threaten people's freedom to peacefully live and to work consistent with their beliefs without fear of government punishment. So one person that we represent who's really suffering under this law, she faces losing everything she owns, her business, her life savings, everything, is Baronelle Stutzman, a florist from Washington State, who lovingly served her friend and longtime customer for 10 years. She knew he was gay. That was never an issue for her. She simply couldn't participate in one particular event. She couldn't create custom art, custom floral arrangements to help celebrate his same-sex wedding. So she declined. She referred him to three other florists. He was able to get what he wanted, and yet the government now has come after her. The Attorney General has sued her, hauled her into court, and is threatening everything she owns and her business simply because she stood consistent with her belief about marriage. So what we are seeing across the country, this is just one example of small business owners, adoption agencies, charities being told by the government, if you don't believe what we want you to believe when it comes to marriage and human sexuality, we're going to take away everything you own.
Well, it's so interesting because I think constantly what we hear from supporters of these laws is they want tolerance and acceptance. But listening to you, it sounds like maybe they're the ones who aren't being very tolerant of those who don't agree with them.
That's right. It's actually the opposite, right? You know, we have such a rich history in America of respecting and tolerating a wide variety of viewpoints, of beliefs, whether you're in the majority or in the minority. The government's really made it every effort to protect every single person. And that's vital to the continuation of what it means to be an American and what our constitutional freedoms mean. And these laws absolutely allow the government, they empower the government to use the force of law to compel you and pick and choose who can exercise constitutional freedoms and who can't.
Right. So there are real problems with this law. First among them, infringing on religious freedom. But laws like LB 173, they start to infringe on privacy rights. What does that look like in other parts of the country that have passed these laws? And what does that mean for the right to privacy?
Well, that's right. So you bring up some interesting, you know, examples. I think definitely in the employment context, for example, not only would these laws force employers to violate, you know, say you have a faith-based school who wants to hire those consistent with their viewpoints on marriage, for example. So you have those issues that this law brings up. In addition to that, it would force employers to open up their locker rooms, their restrooms, their showers, these very intimate settings that are supposed to be safe spaces for everyone. It would force them to open those up and then force men and women, boys and girls, to have to undress and be together, violating everyone's right to privacy. So these laws pose a really significant threat to that expectation of privacy, that right to privacy that all of us have, and that the government should do everything in its power to protect, not pass laws that fine employers if they're simply seeking to do something that's common sense.
All right, so we've got First Amendment concerns, privacy concerns, but something that we hear constantly is that these laws are inevitable, times are changing, people need to adjust, and that states who don't have these laws are somehow falling behind, and we've got to pass this law in order to attract businesses and grow our economy. What's your response to that?
Well, nothing could be further from the truth. I mean, there's a couple reasons for that. One, none of these laws have been passed at a statewide level in 5 or 6 years, except for in one state. So they're clearly not inevitable. I think the reason why we're seeing them not being enacted is because lawmakers are recognizing we really don't need to bring in the heavy arm of government into people's private lives. People respect one another. We can make room for everybody in this great state of Nebraska and in this country where we can all get along. I mean, ultimately, tolerance has to be that two-way street. And I think that the reason why we're not seeing them enacted is because we're starting to see the harms, the repercussions, those unintended consequences of how they're affecting real people. And lawmakers should protect every American. Everyone has those fundamental freedoms, those individual rights. We got to make space for everybody in this society.
Absolutely. And so we're talking about LB 173 here in Nebraska legislature that would create a protected class for sexual orientation and gender identity. A new protected class, that's a pretty serious step. Mm-hmm. And I think in other instances where we've created a new protected class, it's been a response to thousands, perhaps countless cases of discrimination. But are we seeing this sort of widespread discrimination in Nebraska or anywhere in the United States?
You know, in my experience and what we've witnessed across the country is that Americans are pretty respectful and good people, and that, you know, no one obviously should ever be fired for being gay or anything like that. But we have to protect employers, and they have that ability to hire and employ those who are going to best advance their mission. The same thing in the area of gender identity. You know, gender identity is such a fluid concept. So when you add that to the law, it really puts and burdens business owners because they don't know what that means exactly. Or, you know, for example, I think if you think about, say you take a battered women's shelter, for example, they may have very good reason to want to hire people who are biologically female because they're witnessing, they're ministering to women who have been abused, who are in trying to find healing and regain their lives. If they were forced by the government to hire someone who was, you know, working through very sensitive gender identity issues and, you know, a male who believes he's female or identifies as female, that could really put a lot of harm on those women that, in that shelter. So that business owners should have discretion on whom they hire in that context. I mean, obviously, everyone should be treated with dignity, with respect. We should take care to take everyone's thoughts and rights and feelings into account. But this law takes away that discretion and really creates a lot of harms for individuals.
So here's the million-dollar question, because every time we hear proponents of these laws speak about the importance of passing this type of legislation, they always say no one should be fired because of who they are or who they love. And I think anyone who hears that agrees with that. Mm-hmm. So what's the response? Should someone be fired because of who they are or who they love?
No, absolutely not. And that's exactly why people should oppose laws like LB 173, because they threaten those most fundamental freedoms that are guaranteed to us in our Constitution. Every single American, no matter who you are, is guaranteed those rights, guaranteed those freedoms. And yet what we see is when these laws are passed, they actually threaten the ability of every single person, regardless of sexual orientation, to live, to work, to live their lives consistent with their viewpoints, their beliefs, their ideologies. We have to make space for everybody in America.
So how should we think about this issue? Because it seems this is such a difficult and hot button issue when we're talking about religious freedom and how that religious freedom rights or conscience rights, how that can coexist with LGBT rights. So when we're talking about a protected class for sexual orientation and gender identity, how do we need to think about this issue, and what's the solution to respecting the rights of all people and not just a select few?
Well, historically, when we've added a new protected class to one of these laws, they've been based on very objective characteristics, very objective traits. And when you look at sexual orientation and in particular gender identity, you know, even proponents of adding that will acknowledge and advocate that this is a very fluid, they're very fluid identities. It's a very subjective identity. And so it also begs the question of, is this necessary, right? Is there mistreatment happening? You know, obviously no one should be fired just because of who they are. So, but is there evidence of that? And if not, let's also take a step back and think about, look, there's some significant reasons for, you know, for example, you have a Catholic school or Catholic, you know, Catholic church. Catholic church has a very specific viewpoint on what marriage is and what marriage should be for the good of family and the good of children. And when you impose this law, it no longer gives that church, that school, to be able to hire those individuals, hire teachers who are going to agree with their mission, who are going to agree with the tenets of their faith. And that's vital for the continuation of the church and the education of children in that particular faith. That's their freedom to be able to do that. Now, you can have another school that advocates other beliefs. And I think, again, it goes back to how can we as a country do what we always have done? And that is to protect, you know, everyone's freedom. I talked about Baronelle earlier. You know, one thing she says all the time, I think it's so true, Rob and Kurt is the same-sex couple that is they're currently suing her. And she says, look, you know, Rob and Kurt, they have the freedom to live according to their belief about marriage. They don't have to keep that belief in the four walls of their home or the four walls of their church. Barinow's only asking for the same freedom. And I think that's what each and every one of us, regardless of where our viewpoint is on same-sex marriage, we don't want the government coming in and telling us what events to participate in, what messages to speak, or how to live our personal lives. That should be decisions we're free to make as Americans, as individuals.
Well, you're absolutely right, and I'm so glad that you and Alliance Defending Freedom are working tirelessly here in Nebraska and across the country in defense of those people who are just seeking what the Constitution guarantees them and everyone, the right to live and work according to their beliefs. So you've been all over the country working on opposing this type of legislation, and that can't be easy. Everywhere you go, getting the same outcry. what keeps you going? How are you able to just keep bouncing back and not only continuing to fight this legislation, but continually defeat it?
You know, I think it's because of freedom and fairness, right? I've always had a passion to fight for what's right and fight for justice. And when I see these laws being introduced, I realize there's a lot of people who may support them or may think they're a good idea because they care about those things too. And they don't realize the significant harms this has on people's ability to live their lives freely. And so you want to fight for every person, regardless of who they are. You want to make sure they're free, they're being treated well, they're being treated fairly, they're being treated with justice. And so I think that's really what really motivates me to get up every morning and to continue to fight, because I see this as fighting for every Nebraskan, every American, is to continue to fight for those fundamental freedoms that are guaranteed to us in our Constitution.
So how can we do that? How can we get more people to understand what's really at stake with these laws? Because it seems so simple on the surface, and I think not enough people really look at what these laws are really about. So how can we keep telling the truth about what these laws are about and what they do?
I think a lot of it starts with conversations and getting to know people, getting to know people who may not necessarily agree with us, and reaching out, asking questions. You know, what motivates you? Why do you think this law is a good thing? You know, and I think by asking questions, you deepen your understanding of other people and where they're coming from and their perspectives. And then you're able to have that dialogue that enriches all of us. And then it also helps you to kind of circle back and point out to say, well, that's great. You're free to have that belief. You're free to live your life according to it. And I think, you know, those on every side of the issue appreciate that freedom. And so you're able to find that common ground. You know, I think it's especially important to find ways to make common ground, right? And so bring up maybe less controversial issues. So you can say, well, do you think someone, you know, who's pro-abortion should, well, not that that's less controversial necessarily, but should someone who's pro-abortion, should the government force them to take photos of the March for Life, right? Should a, you know, Jewish opera singer, should you force them to come sing at a church's Christmas or Easter celebration? Probably not. Or go back to like Democrats, Republicans. Should a Democrat speechwriter be forced to write speeches for President Trump? I don't think we'd think it was okay for the government to force someone to do that. So asking questions on less controversial or issues that are difficult to talk about and then bringing it back kind of helps to bring out and round out that conversation of what does it mean to have free speech? What does it mean to have be able to exercise our beliefs freely, to have faith? Because religious freedom protects the religious and the non-religious alike.
But what should the real takeaway be when states continue to vote down this type of legislation?
Well, I would say it's a huge victory, and it's a huge victory for the entire state and every person ultimately, even people who probably don't think it is, because freedom lives another day, right? This First Amendment freedoms, our right to privacy, economic freedom too. That's such a vital point that's often missed in this discussion, because usually the dialogue is, oh, well, we have to have these laws to boost our economy. Actually, the reverse is true. These laws, when you bring in increased government regulations into the private sector dictating how businesses should be run, you actually create less jobs. It creates these really burdensome regulations that just really paralyze a diverse and growing marketplace. So I would say this is a real victory for everyone to be able to continue to live and flourish in a very diverse and tolerant community without the government coming in and punishing you if you happen to have a different viewpoint than is currently popular with the government.
Right. This is such a difficult but important issue, and I'm so thankful that we have Kelly Fedoric and the Alliance Defending Freedom working diligently here with us in Nebraska to defend religious freedom. Kelly, thank you so much for being here and coming on the show today.
It's my pleasure, Nate.
I'll be back next week with more updates on the issues you care about and, of course, what's going on at our state capitol, where the Nebraska legislature will be debating a convention of states, LR6, a resolution to petition Congress to call an Article 5 convention in an attempt to rein in the scope and power of the federal government, rein in this out-of-control spending, and restore states' rights. This is a bill that has been defeated in the past. But with a new bill, a new body, a new legislative session, there's a chance we get some different results. Thank you again to sponsors of the show, the Bill Black CBS Home Real Estate Team. For all your real estate needs, call the Bill Black Team at 402-680-2500. And for all your vehicle service and maintenance needs, visit Walker Tire and Auto at one of their four convenient locations throughout Omaha. As always, for more information, visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.